Greetings from Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today we are joined from a special, joined by a special guest, Peter Emig, who you've heard in a few intros to episodes that he's helped sponsor, some bands that he's had us listen to. Well, now he's having us just listen to one album straight through. And talk about it on this special episode of You Gotta Listen to This. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thank you for having me.
Ah, thanks for being here. You want to tell folks what album you made us listen to?
I made you listen to Who You Selling For by The Pretty Reckless.
Whew, good thing, because that's the album I listened to. I'm going to use that joke every week, Hammond.
I listened to The Pretty Hate Machine, so I guess I crap my wires crossed.
Okay, well, so here's what I think about ring thing.
Well done. That was quick.
That was quick. Nice work.
Yeah, so The Pretty Reckless, first thing right off the bat, it's funny because I've got a couple songs in my library of stuff by The Pretty Reckless, but once I saw this album cover, I realized I'd seen that album cover a lot before, and I don't know where I've seen it before. Kind of like a little hand-drawn side view of a guy standing there with long hair.
It was probably right behind all that Tom Petty album you were buying.
Right, exactly. Or The Pretty Things, yeah. Or who knows? Who knows where I was seeing this thing? Although I don't know if I've been to a record store since 2016. I guess I have for record store day. But that was the first thing I noticed is that the album cover seemed really familiar to me. The lead single, which I'm sure we'll talk about, Take Me Down, the lead vocalist, Taylor Momsen. And in all the time I've had those two songs in my library, I never realized this, but she is a former actress, a retired, it's funny to call her a retired actress because she's like 27, but she is a retired, actress whose credits include Gossip Girl and what movie, Peter?
How the Grinch Stole Christmas, starring Jim Carrey.
Yeah, this is great. She's a little Cindy Lou Who and sings that that song, which I can't remember, in the movie she sings.
She sings a song in the movie.
She sings a song to kind of warm his heart and make it three sizes larger or something. But
sings songs that would darken your heart.
For sure. Yeah, this is, I didn't know what to expect going into this. First thing you see when you do a search for The Pretty Reckless, and at least in Apple Music, where I do a lot of the listening, is a very heavy metal looking band. And I was expecting maybe something along the lines of Hailstorm or Evanescence, maybe something along those lines. And I was actually really pleased to say, okay, there were some elements of those two bands, but also some blues, a lot of blues thrown in there, just a lot of straight ahead rock and roll that I really like. Maybe a little bit of alternative like Garbage in there as well. I really enjoyed this.
I was very hit by the amount of kind of almost grunge influence that they were kind of processing through their own kind of filter.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, I think you would have been less pleasantly surprised had I given you their debut or sophomore album.
Oh, really? Okay, because I know this is their third studio release, and those I take it are a little bit more on the heavier side.
Yeah, it is much more Hailstorm adjacent.
Gotcha.
Okay. This is, but this album is special. I think it because it's kind of reminds me of Between the Buried and Me's of her album. Anatomy of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This album is, it seems to be different songs that they have written more in the style of the bands that they do love.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, it's an interesting way to go, you know, go off your influences, for sure.
Instead of just covering it, we're going to reference those bands and play more like them.
It's gotcha. Like it's like the Weird Al Yankovic
songs.
It's like the Weird Al Yankovic tone covers, style covers instead of the actual.
Right, like Dare to Be Stupid.
Genius in France, really.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna try to Weird Al Yankovic mention every time we do these two. You can tell your joke. I got mine.
There you go. That's fine. We're giving everybody a drinking game, whichever one they choose to use. So talking about the album, and so like we said, this is the third The third of their albums, you're saying that the first couple were a little bit more like Hailstorm or a little bit heavier edged and more kind of, that this is kind of more of a reaction to or a way to pay homage to their influences as opposed to doing like a straight cover album.
Yes.
Which is cool. I love that.
It's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about it with you two is.
Yeah. Well, saying that, I'm curious now as we go through some of these songs, who those influences would be. So when I listen to this again, I can maybe pick up on some of those influences. Let's go just some quick notes about the album. It came out in 2016, recorded that year and the previous year. Did well in the UK, which is actually where I picked up some of their music. It wasn't from being in the UK, but from their appearances on the on BBC Radio, various shows where I get some CD compilations and things like that. I guess got to number 13 on the Billboard 200 and number 23 on the UK album chart. So did well here in the US as well. Let's talk about some of the tracks on the album. Let's talk about some of the tracks on the album. Opens up with a track called The Walls Are Closing In and Hangman. It's funny because with that opening little spoken word bit, did she say something like, we just shit together, something like that? That my notes say.
Get your shit together.
That's what I was hearing.
Okay. I like Brian's version of it better.
And then it turns into a, a subtle reference to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, okay.
I picked up on that pretty quick. That it was a.
I didn't pick up on that one.
It was definitely a head nod. It might not have been a full homage, but it definitely was a head nod to.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Oh yeah, I did notice one of the things, but we'll talk about that when we get to that track. Never mind. All right. So The Walls Are Closing.
That's a different band.
Yeah. The Walls Are Closing In is the very beginning, which is a little
ballady
Bohemian Rhapsody thing. And then Hangman starts and the bass comes in and all of a sudden it's Parabola by Tool. No, not Parabola. Lateralis.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I picked up on that too.
You're a Tool fan, Hammond. So that
I'm glad you said fan because it was.
You're a Tool. Hammond, fan. Okay. That's cool. Man, I kind of wish I would have known. Well, this is good because it gives me something to look forward to the next time I listen to this is to pick up on those, these connections. Yeah, Apple put those two tracks together as one track. So it starts with The Walls Are Closing In / Hangman and then goes into Oh My God. Anything else you want to say about that first, either of those first two tracks?
Well, the rest of Hangman is a love letter to Alice in Chains.
Oh, it is. Okay. Cool.
Down to the guitar solo, which just sounds like Jerry Cantrell playing. Like they really just try to. They out man in the box, man in the box.
That's cool. Have they done this before in any of their music, by the way, in either of their previous albums?
There is one song on their last album. Pretty directly lifts from The Who. It was the exception, but on this album, it is the rule.
Yeah. Okay, cool. It's great. I'm loving this. This is like giving me another reason to listen again. Let's move over to the next track, Oh My God.
I'm
Who's this an homage to, or what is this an homage to?
Motorhead.
Oh, really? Okay. Hammond, did you get that?
How about if I speak up if I didn't get it? That'll make this game a lot easier.
are there that few that you didn't pick up?
No, why did I make a connection? So here's the thing is, Brian, you're gonna hate me for this, what I'm about to say, but another band I listen to does this, and on their making ofs, they actually show a chart and they're like, this is the Meshuggah section in E, and this is our Inspector Gadget moment, and this is your Pink Floyd moment. So since I saw that, courtesy of Dream Theater, I now listen for those kind of things because I think more bands write that way now than used to because they're pulling from their influences from all over the place. And so finding those kind of inferences and head nods and things like that actually has become something I do with everyone I listen to.
You automatically do that, right? Whether it's intended or not. Okay, that's cool. Because
here's the thing is Dream Theater actually sent their list of inspirations for one of their instrumentals out and said, hey, if you're in a band or if you're a musician, hit these moments and let's see what you come up with. And so they released all these entries into this contest on a bonus disc. So they had all these references listed out. And then people tried to do their interpretation of it, trying to guess what this instrumental would sound like. And they released like six of them on a special disc. None of them were what they did, but they all had similar flavors because they were using the same list of inspirations. So it was really kind of a clever way to involve your fans. Also, it discovered a couple of bands that are now big deals. So...
okay. Well, that's cool. That's really cool.
This was the Dream Theater Corner with Hammond and Brian.
One more reason for people to take a drink if they're playing that drinking game. Will they even make it to the end of this episode without a liver failure? Let's get to... all right. So we were talking about Oh My God. Anything else to say about this one?
Well, I think it's kind of funny that like the name of the track is also... well, I suppose it could be. Maybe I'm just attributing to them greater knowledge, but it seems like a joke from the movie Airheads.
Okay. Yeah, the Adam Sandler.
Because would Lemmy, who would win in arm wrestling, Lemmy or God? Great question. They're the same.
It could be. So
their Motorhead homage is called Oh My God.
So
that's, if that is the reason behind that, that is really, really clever.
Okay, here's trivia. Does anyone remember the name of the band that Adam Sandler and Brendan Fraser play with?
Oh, geez. No. I've seen that movie once. I bought the soundtrack. A lot of great covers on the soundtrack. But yeah.
Come on. Someone's got to know. They're the Lone Rangers.
The Lone Rangers?
Yes. And that's the joke throughout. It's like, you can't be the Lone Rangers. There's multiple of you. And Rangers cannot be plural if there's a word lone in front of it. It's like the Lone Gunman. That's a problem.
That's a good point.
And it does seem to be a syntax error.
The fine work of Steve Buscemi, too. You know, let's not forget him. All right, let's back to the tracks here. Next one on the album is called Take Me Down. This is the first single that they released from this album. Mama begged me, please. Yes, she got down on her knees. Said you'll burn in that Mississippi sun. But I'm the only one that's standing here. So mama, don't you have no fear. I'll be the last to arrival. My notes basically just say, number one, love this, and a really good blues and metal combo.
Yes, it is very, very much Eric Clapton influenced, this one.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, I could totally hear that.
That's cool. Like equal parts Cream, Crossroads, and After Midnight.
I'm writing these down because when I listen again... I want to make sure I pick up on all these things. Too funny.
It's not like it's being recorded that you could listen to later, Brian.
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
We need to make that Spotify playlist now.
Exactly. I need it now, Hammond. I need it now. When you discover the band, or you've been following them through their first couple albums, or did you discover the band with this album? Was this the thing that got you into the Pretty Reckless?
No, I heard some of their singles off their second album.
Gotcha.
And okay. I thought they were pretty good. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, like in that Hailstorm kind of spot where I thought that they were a good band, but they did seem to be better when they were lifting their material from people. Because those Reanimate cover EPs are, I think, better than anything Hailstorm has done
for sure.
Otherwise.
Yeah, I really like, I mean, obviously I'm drawn to those anyway, but when I've gone through and listened to other things they've done, I said, all right, this is okay, but give me more covers. Give me more Reanimate.
2016 was an interesting year for this genre of music.
Yeah, and what would
this album came out, and the Dorothy album, Rock Is Dead, came out, and Lady Gaga decided to put out not pop music for an album.
What genre would Pretty Reckless fall into? Is it hard rock? I mean, there's some elements of punk. There's some alternative. I mean, especially an album like this where they do have all these other influences. What section of the record store am I going to? The old style record store.
Their first two albums are pretty like straight up Sabbath worship. Heavy metal.
Oh, wow. Okay. But this one would fall into kind of alternative rock?
This would
rock?
Be impossible to classify, I think, because...
Yeah. You
know, we could just classify it as the one that Brian likes.
We could, because yes. I think, you're not selling me on those first two albums at all.
I'm not trying to.
I clearly am going to stay away from those and just make this my jam. Although I used to have a new album that they're working out for hopefully a 2021 release.
The first single off of that is pretty much a love letter to the late, great Ronnie James.
Oh, really? Okay.
See, I would actually like to hear them do a straight cover of The Last in the Line or something like that.
Oh, me too.
After hearing this,
covers live, it's really great.
After hearing this, though, I could totally hear her doing RJD.
No, I want all of that in my life.
You know, it goes without saying that I already want this, but people would expect me to say that. So it's not really that much of a shock. All right, moving on. Let's see. We left off with The Prisoner. Oh, no, we were about to talk about Prisoner.
Won't you send me free?
It is News to the World by Queen.
It's from News, the world. News of the World? Okay.
It's of the World. That's really? It.
Which is the album that gave us We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions.
And Get Down, Make Love.
Get Down, Make Love. Okay. Oh, man. Going to listen to the first track I listened to when we're done with this episode. That's so cool.
The percussion is totally lifted from We
Roger
Will Rock
Taylor.
You.
Uh-huh. Why didn't I? That's funny that I didn't pick up on that, because I did pick up on a couple of them. We'll get to those. And I want to, you know, that way I can redeem myself with a couple tracks by saying that I did pick up on, which I didn't realize were influences, but I mean, one of them is, you know, almost a straight up cover of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but we'll get to that one much later.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Let's move to Wild City.
And God must have a reason when the temperature drops. One more nameless baby and a mama in shame. Not one of the fathers who the churches came.
Okay, Wild City is actually the one that I've had the hardest time nailing down exactly, because I think it's kind of like trivia. You either know the answer or you don't.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And like, there is some Stevie Wonder in it and there is some AC/DC in it, but I'm not sure if I would want to say that either one of them is the primary. There might just be a song that I haven't heard that is exactly what this is.
Yeah.
So we could call it DC Wonder and we could do... like the Beatallica, we could do like DC Wonder and they could do like
DC. Oh man, what a great idea for a band, man. It's like doing like old soul and Motown R&B covers, but as a
AC/DC
late 70s, early 80s heavy metal band. Uh-huh. I love it.
Yeah. That's what Beatallica.
It would be great.
Yeah.
We got to lock this down. All right. Does just saying
you really want to get Let There Be Rock.
Yeah.
Mixed in with, something like a superstition.
I was going to say, Let There Be Superstition.
This is great. All right, good.
The interesting and good guitar part is almost lost in the mix.
Yeah.
Some of the lyrics are stolen from The Zombies, which really? I find delightful.
That's funny because we've been talked about The Zombies. Yep. All right.
It's that time of the season, Brian.
It's probably the time of the season for me to go back to this album and listen with fresh ears.
It be with educated ears now?
With educated ears. Yeah. Enlightened. How about that?
Yeah.
Enlightened
good. Ears. Wow. Good. Good. Good work.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring you this album, because you can look at it and say, oh, it's just dirty, girly, bluesy rock. It's like an ogre. It has layers.
I've usually heard that phrase with onions, but okay, ogre works.
Or sure. It's a parfait.
I like that even better. Parfait.
Parfait rock.
Napoleon.
It's a peanut buster parfait of rock.
Parfait metal. There we go.
Parfait metal. Yes, I'm looking at the lyrics right now. It's that time of the season when the blood runs hot. Okay. Wow. Yeah. So like maybe like a, if you got the Stevie Wonder influence and Zombies, maybe it's like a 60s soul mixed with like an 80s metal. The Van Halen, the AC/DC.
More AC/DC. The Van Halen was not much there. It was very much that straight ahead three chords and a puff of smoke kind of AC/DC early Kiss stuff.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Okay, cool. Moving on to Back to the River, featuring Warren Haynes.
From Government Mule, which is kind of a weird pull, because Government Mule is not someone who I would have instantly associated with this group.
No, for sure. Yeah, they're more in the y'all alternative sector, as I like to say.
Well, the first time I saw them, they opened for Blues Traveler.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would fit. That's much more fit than what I would expect here. But
yeah, it was like them and Widespread Panic and Blues Traveler.
Who's also a member of the Allman Brothers band.
Yep.
Before Government Mule. Didn't know that.
Which is, I believe, the important reference to make.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, is that gotcha? So Back to the River is kind of the Allman Brothers tribute, or
you see, there's blue skies all around you, and then it turns into an epic slide guitar solo, not unlike Blue Sky.
Wow. Okay.
The vocals are far more Bonnie Raitt than they are going to be Greg Allman.
Okay, I actually wrote down Bonnie Raitt, and I don't know if it was for this song, but there are times that Taylor Momsen has a Bonnie Raitt style to her vocals.
Welcome to the game, Brian. This is how we play.
Good, I'm glad I wrote down some notes. Wow, okay.
Yeah, cool. I think this is Blue Sky by way of Angel from Montgomery.
Angel from Montgomery, right. Jump Prime. Cool. Moving to Who You Selling For, the title track.
Woke up in a scream, thought I'd lost my sight. Who are you selling for tonight?
Who are you selling for?
I'm reading the lyrics right now to see if I can. Well, they talk about John. Was a walrus, but you know, dancer like Paul.
Yeah, there's definitely some Beatles action going on.
And talking about Roger showed me I was building a wall. It's almost like they're taking, like it's almost the meta of the album, right? Like it's basically not a list, but like a an inventory of who they're covering on the album, maybe, or no? Because I did pick up on Pink Floyd for The Devil's Back and picked up on the Beatles for Mad Love. So I'm guessing that when Travis called, I didn't even answer. I'm not sure who that's a reference to, but almost like they're referencing their other songs.
Well, there is a theme running through the album, which is that these rock gods are more than men and are her gods, which is referenced in Take Me Down and again here.
Okay. Cool. Huh. Is the Who and Who You Selling For, is that like talking, like basically a loose reference to these are our influences?
Yes.
Just basically right there in the title of the album. Yeah. Seems obvious now that I'm...
Not Yes, The Who.
Not Yes, or the Who.
Or Guess Who.
Oh, yes. Okay. No, we've already played that in the first game. All right, moving to Bedroom Window. Anything I've forgiven me. Looking to see maybe some more Queen. I don't know, the lyrics are kind of maybe saying The Doors. It's almost like I'm just trying to figure this out based on the lyrics, because obviously I can't listen to the song again while we're talking. But
well, if you listen to the song again, the guitar part is very Lindsey Buckingham.
It is. Okay, so Fleetwood Mac.
So this is the one that I struggled with picking the thing, because I am not a huge Fleetwood Mac fan, and like three of their songs mm-hmm. that aren't on the Greatest Hit album. If it's not on the Greatest Hits album, I don't know it. So this is the one I had a hard time.
So you don't have like Man of the World or any of the really good old Peter Green stuff? Like
the Peter Green stuff when they just brought Buckingham Nicks in?
For whatever reason, I always associated them with like old people rock. And I never went there just because of that. So Stacey loves them, and God bless her, because that's how I know some of it. But I'm not I've never really waded into the waters of Fleetwood Mac.
Well, maybe that does mean we need to do Fleetwood Mac.
I think we could, and I'd be okay with that. It's not like I have
especially going back to the Peter Green stuff and the Bob Welch stuff before they went in the total pop direction, California pop direction that they went into.
They started off, they were basically just blues. John Mayall in the Blues Breakers without John Mayall.
Right.
So I have no chip on my shoulder about doing that, but we've already got the season done, and I've done all the notes, so we're not changing.
Yeah. No, we won't have the season, don't worry. All right, so Bedroom Window, kind of on the Fleetwood Mac, early Fleetwood Mac train. Excellent. All right, moving to Living in the Storm. I'd almost say Doors just based on that title, but
yes, Living in the Storm, which unfortunately is not a love letter to Riders on the Storm.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, because there's banging at the doors. There's like, oh, a door, maybe there's doors in here. But what is it? What is it a reference to?
Well,
the
structure and the guitar work is pretty Sabbath-y.
Okay.
Like Black Sabbath, that song specifically, and War Pigs.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of tritone-y stuff in there.
Really? Okay. Cool. Oh, this is great. All right. Anything more on Living in the Storm? Then we'll move to Already Dead. In the doldrums of my life, I was nice to the people.
Just that I really love that song.
Already Dead or Living in the Storm?
Living in the Storm. It's one of my favorite tracks on the whole album.
I could see that. I think I think my favorite was Take Me Down, but which is a bummer because I hate saying that the single was my favorite track from the album, but I really didn't enjoy the rest of it. All right, let's talk about Already Dead and what...
Already Dead is our major Pink Floyd influence.
Oh, really? More so than The Devil's Back? Because I actually wrote down Pink Floyd for The Devil's Back as like a...
I think The Devil's Back tries to trick you.
It succeeded.
if you were going to Led Zeppelin, the song that they chose to pay tribute to Led Zeppelin is not very high on many people's lists.
Oh, really? Okay. So Devil's Back is more Zeppelin with Already Dead being more Pink Floyd influenced.
Because the tone that they use for the guitar solo, like it is very time.
Okay.
Yeah,
the Pink Floyd song, two
ways that I had the most success on figuring out what the songs were was either by singing them myself and seeing how my voice changed, which is how, like, you can't sing Hangman and not start singing like Layne Staley. Like, it just happens. And same thing with Oh My God. The Lemmy just sort of comes out.
For sure. And kind of more along the Roger Waters line than maybe the David Gilmour side of things for that one. All right, moving on to The Devil's Back. So this is the one that I wrote down was Pink Floyd, but you're saying more of a Zeppelin kind of thing going on here.
Remember when you didn't care? That's when you were living. You were living. You were alive.
Yes, It sounds like No Quarter to me.
Okay. I'm writing that down.
It's an odd thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. A popular Zeppelin song, but certainly not, you know, certainly not the song that most people associate with Zeppelin, or even, you know, one of the top five songs that people associate with Zeppelin. But if you're into No Quarter, then that's a great one to kind of paint your painting towards.
It just makes for extra fun because it's so long and slow, but yeah, the way she sings, it just reminds me of Plant when he is singing in his actual voice.
Mm-hmm. And not the high falsetto.
Right.
Gotcha. All right, moving on to the last track, Mad Love. Obviously wrote in my notes, hey, there's a Lucy in the Sky kind of intro for Mad Love. So obviously Beatles, kind of a Sgt. Pepper thing going on there, the psychedelic Beatles era. Did I pick up? I picked up on that one, right? Correctly? I would hope.
I would never have been able to figure this one out.
Okay.
Momsen said in an interview that the album was done. Last track was The Devil's Back, which would have been a better way to end this album.
Mm.
Like, mm-hmm. So then an event happened in 2016, added this song.
Oh, really? Okay.
And was the death of David Bowie.
Oh, really? So this is more of a David Bowie thing than a Beatles thing. I mean, obviously you got the Lucy in the Sky intro, but then it does go into, well, like I was saying, there was a very psychedelic rock kind of thing. So maybe even into the glam.
Yeah, this is like Fame fashion era Bowie. So I listened to David Bowie's earlier stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really into Ziggy Stardust and the Giant Spiders from Mars and Space Oddity. Those things are far more, yeah.
Sure.
Aladdin. That's more my era of Bowie. So when she said that it was Bowie, I said, no, it's not. And then I'm listening to different pieces of Bowie and I found the inspiration, but yeah, it's not my Bowie. So I wouldn't have ever come up with it.
Well, it's also not China Girl Bowie or Tin Machine Bowie or Labyrinth Bowie.
I'll admit that once I kind of landed on the Beatles, I kind of just was like, okay, it's Beatles. But now hearing the Bowie tie totally makes sense because that era of Bowie is the era of Bowie I kind of like more than some of the others.
Yeah.
I thought Changes was a Wings song the first time I heard it.
Really? Just too poppy, not as
it sounded Beatles-y to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. First time I heard Changes.
Sure.
Well, I was shocked to find out that Guns N' Roses didn't write Live and Let Die.
I'm not going to say anything about that.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, good. I was going to bite my tongue.
No, I'm just kidding. Someone actually said to me.
They're time travelers. They wrote Live and Let Die. They also wrote Sympathy for the Devil. And no one can convince me otherwise.
Prove it. You can't. Awesome. Yeah, this was a great eye opener, and especially like you said, a band that I'd heard a couple songs from because of covers, because of stuff they had done for the BBC. So this was a really cool way to kind of get exposed to them. And now that I know more about this album, it's almost like I'm going to be listening to it again. For the first time with this extra knowledge about these other influences. This is great. And I kind of, I'm excited about that. And I kind of wish other bands would do this. It's almost like a puzzle, like a game.
Yes, that's what made it so fun. And I'm glad that in the interview, she did only say...
Bowie.
Bowie.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
That's been the fun. The fun has been...
uncovering who these other influences are and recognizing guitar licks and stuff like that. Very cool. Oh, this is great. Well, thank you so much, Peter. Appreciate you opening us up to this and giving me not only stuff to listen to for the past couple of days, but now giving me a chance to listen to it again now.
I'm trying to get my money's worth.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I hope you feel like you did, because I certainly feel like you did. Excellent. Well, should people, is there a place where people can check you out online, follow you online?
Oh, heavens no. This is my online home, Soundography. Good. But you're already listening to that.
Kind of already. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is kind of your home away from home. So we've had you on so much for this sort of thing, which I love having you on here for this. Excellent. Well, Hammond, anything else to close out?
No, I had a good time with this, and I'm a little bit worried what you're going to throw at me next week.
That's right. Next week, it's my turn, isn't it?
Yeah, it's your turn, yeah. And then we have the patron-only show.
Yes, the movie.
Yeah.
Boy, so two weeks, I'm really getting to pick what you listen to and watch.
Yeah. Full control.
Excellent. All right, good. Well, I own you for the next half a month. All right. Well, on behalf of Hammond Chamberlain and Peter Emig, thanks again for being our special guest. This is Brian Ebbets saying thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time on Soundography.